Psalm 44, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. This is the word of the Lord. O God, we have heard with our ears, our fathers have told us, what deeds you performed in their days, in the days of old. You, with your own hand, drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm, and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. You are my King, O God. Ordain salvation for Jacob. Through you we push down our foes. Through your name we tread down those who rise up against us. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes, and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. But you have rejected us and disgraced us, and have not gone out with our armies. You have made us turn back from the foe, and those who hate us have gotten spoil. You have made us like sheep for slaughter, and have scattered us among the nations. You have sold your people for a trifle, demanding no high price for them. You have made us the taunt of our neighbors, the derision and scorn of those around us. You have made us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face. At the sound of the taunter and reviler, at the sight of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, though we have not forgotten you, and we have not been false to your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. Yet you have broken us in the place of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of our God, or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Rise up. Come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. Luke chapter 6. Verses 12 through 26. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles, Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus ascends the mountain to speak with the Lord. And he descends that mountain to speak to his people. Jesus is the new and greater Moses of a new and larger Israel. We considered before the parallels between Luke chapter 6, Jesus upon the mountain, and Exodus with Moses at Mount Sinai. Moses ascended the mountain to speak with the Lord, to be spoken to by the Lord. And he descended the mountain to speak that word of the Lord to God's people. And at that mountain, the old covenant was inaugurated. The old covenant was inaugurated through blood, through the blood of bulls and goats. Jesus is the new and greater Moses of a new and larger Israel. He calls to himself 12 of his disciples. recalling the number of the sons of Jacob, recalling the 12 tribes of Israel. But what begins with 12 in Luke chapter 6, it ends with a great multitude of people. In verse 17, a great multitude of people that includes the Gentiles, that includes the peoples of the coastlands, people from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. As will be made fully known in the book of Acts, the second part to Luke's gospel. As will be made fully known in the book of Acts, the people of God under the new covenant include both Jew and Gentile. Jesus is the new and greater Moses, the mediator of a new and greater covenant, who gathers to himself a new and larger Israel, an Israel that includes the nations. Again, Revelation chapter 7. A picture of the church in glory. A vision of the church at rest. John hears the number of the sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. But what he then sees is a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne of the Lamb. Luke chapter 6, it is a foretaste, a shadow of Revelation chapter 7, as the 12 and a great multitude of people stand before the Lamb. As they stand before Jesus. And as Moses, who ascended and descended the mountain of God, as Moses pronounced the blessings and the curses of the old covenant to the people of God, so also Jesus, having ascended and descended the mountain, he pronounces blessings and woe to the people of God. But there is a difference between the blessings and curses which Moses proclaims and the blessings and woes which Christ proclaims. Both concerned life in the kingdom of God. But at the time of Moses, the kingdom of God was manifested in the land of Canaan. In the time of Moses, and in the time of Joshua, in the time of David, in the time of Solomon, in the time of the Old Covenant, the kingdom of God was manifested in the land of Canaan. To be an heir of the land of Canaan was to be an heir of the kingdom of God. And so the blessings of the old covenant, they concern a life of wealth, of fullness, of joy on the earth. A blessing of life, a blessing of wealth, a blessing of fullness, a blessing of joy in the land. And the curses of the covenant, they concern a life of poverty, of hunger, of weeping on the earth. You can read of those blessings and curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Again, the blessings of the Old Covenant concern a life of wealth, fullness, and joy on the earth. And the curses of the covenant concern a life of poverty, hunger, and weeping on the earth. And so what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, it seems to turn the blessings and curses of the old covenant on their head. It seems to turn the world upside down. So that those who would be considered cursed under the old covenant, Christ calls blessed. And those who would be considered blessed under the old covenant, Christ calls cursed. Why? Certainly, Jesus is not contradicting the law. Certainly, he is not nullifying the law. He did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Why then does he speak this way? He is revealing to his people what the law itself was seeking. What the law itself was unable to provide. Under the old covenant, the kingdom of God was identified with the land of Canaan. But the land of Canaan was itself a shadow of a greater kingdom. The kingdom of David, the kingdom of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom of Judah, it was a shadow of a greater kingdom. It was a shadow of a heavenly kingdom. Psalm 44. It wrestles with this tension. It wrestles with this difficulty. In Psalm 44, Israel remembers how God blessed their fathers. But in Psalm 44, Israel is not enjoying those blessings that their fathers enjoyed. Israel is not enjoying the blessings of the covenant, but Israel is suffering the curses of the covenant. Rejected, disgraced, turned back from the foe. Like sheep for the slaughter, scattered among the nations. We expect to read in Psalm 44 that these things came upon them on account of their disobedience, on account of their sin, on account of their idolatry, on account of their rejection of the Lord. But in Psalm 44, we read instead, all this has come upon us, though we have not forgotten you. All this has come upon us, though we have not been false to your covenant. Our heart has not turned back. nor have our steps departed from your way. Under the old covenant, the blessings of the covenant, they were a sign of the people's obedience. The curses of the covenant were a sign of the people's transgression. But in Psalm 44, it is not so. In Psalm 44, the blessings and curses of the old covenant seem to be turned on their head. The world seems to have been turned upside down. The people are suffering the curses of the covenant, but not on account of their disobedience, but indeed on account of their righteousness. This tension, it is never resolved in Psalm 44. The psalmist never understands why. He never understands why, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But Jesus understood. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus points his people to a kingdom far greater than a kingdom on earth. To a kingdom far greater than the kingdom under Solomon. Jesus points his people to a kingdom far greater than the kingdom under the old covenant. He points his people to blessings far greater than the blessings of the old covenant. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus points his people to a kingdom not of this world. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus points his people to the kingdom of heaven and to the blessings of heaven. And so the blessings and curses of the old covenant, while they concerned a life of wealth, of fullness, and of joy in this world, they did not ultimately concern those things, but ultimately were pointing to a life of wealth, fullness, and joy in the world to come. And so under the new covenant, a life of poverty, a life of hunger, a life of weeping, a life of persecution in this world, it is not a sign of God's disfavor. It is not a sign that you are cursed. It is a sign that you belong to the kingdom to come, that you are an heir of its blessings to come. But those who could not see beyond those earthly blessings, but who idolized instead those blessings, who made idols of wealth in this world, of fullness in this world, of happiness in this world. Their receiving of such things was not a sign, is not a sign of God's favor or the blessings of the covenant. Indeed, they will have no share of those blessings in the world to come. Psalm 44 speaks of a reality that only makes sense in Christ. It speaks of a life that only makes sense in Christ. Psalm 44 speaks to us, and it concerns us. It speaks to you. It concerns you because it first speaks of Christ. Consider the life of Jesus in this world. A life of perfect obedience. Not one of God's commands were left unfulfilled by him. Jesus was perfectly obedient in this world. But he did not enjoy the blessings of the old covenant in this world. But rather, he suffered the curses of the covenant in this world. He was rejected, disgraced, like a lamb led to slaughter. But these things he suffered, that he might receive the blessings, not the earthly blessings of the old covenant, but the heavenly blessings to which they pointed. He suffered in the hope of a greater glory, and he has been raised to that greater glory. He is the heir of all the blessings of heaven. Christ. Psalm 44, ultimately, it concerns him. The one who endured the curses of the old covenant, though he was only faithful to God. But it does not only concern him, it concerns also you, because he did these things for you. He did these things for you, that you might with him become an heir of the blessings of the world to come, that you might with him become an heir of the blessings of heaven. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus is assuring you, his people, that you must receive them in the way that he received them. That you, like him, must endure what seem to be the curses of the covenant. But in him you may know that you are not cursed, but that you are blessed. And why? Because you will receive your reward. You will receive his reward. The apostles, they all testify to the truth of what Jesus has spoken. In Romans chapter 8, Paul, speaking of our becoming heirs with Christ, speaking of our becoming heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, what does he say? We will be glorified with him. If we suffer with him. Christ suffered unto glory, that in him you might also suffer unto glory. Christ suffered unto glory for you, that in him you might also suffer unto glory with him. The church she is not promised a life of wealth, a life of fullness, a life of joy in this world. Indeed, the church must expect and be prepared for a life of poverty, a life of hunger, a life of weeping in this world. But no longer as a sign of God's displeasure, but a sign of God's love. A sign that he considers you an heir with Christ. What does Paul go on to say in Romans chapter 8? How shall we understand the tribulation, the distress, the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, the danger, the sword, which the church endures in this world? Romans chapter 8, verse 36. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. You are not to be regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. You are not to consider yourselves as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, in tribulation, in distress, in persecution, in famine, in nakedness, in danger or sword, in all these things, you are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you say? What do you say to one who has lost a child? What do you say to those among us who have lost sons and daughters? What do you say to the one whose body is wasting away? What do you say to the one who endures poverty? Who endures persecution? These are not suffering. The curse of God. They are conquerors with Christ. You are no longer under wrath. Whatever you may suffer in this world, whatever you must suffer in this world, it is not an heir of the curses of the covenant, but as an heir of the blessings of the covenant, as an heir of God, as an heir with Christ. Thank you. You are loved by God. You are only loved by God. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray.